It's 1240. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine on WILL AM 580. I'm Craig Cohen. Well, as we just described in our Illinois Public Media newscast, Illinois legislators adjourned their spring session early this morning, 90 minutes past their midnight deadline. In a frenzy of last-minute activity, they approved a new state budget and authorized a massive expansion of gambling, but they are not finished at the Capitol. The collapse of that pension overhaul means the General Assembly will probably return to Springfield this summer. With an in-depth report, here's again Amanda Vinicky.
There's an election in November, which means that legislators would typically want to spend their summers at home, knocking on voters' doors, trying to win their support. Instead, it's likely legislators will be called back to the Capitol because they failed to do anything to reduce the state's soaring pension costs. It's something Governor Pat Quinn insisted on during his annual budget address.
We must stabilize and strengthen our pension systems to prevent them from swallowing up our core programs in education, in health care, and in public safety.
For a time, it appeared as if legislators were going to heed his call. Yesterday morning, an Illinois House committee approved House Republican leader Tom Cross's proposal to reduce the pensions of state and university employees, teachers, and even legislators themselves. By yesterday evening, it became apparent the measure was a victim of a dispute that's both partisan and ideological. Cross's proposal had the state continue footing the bill for teachers and university workers' retirement benefits. House Speaker Mike Madigan says that's a cost schools should absorb and dropped his support for the plan. When it became apparent his fellow Democrats were following the speaker's lead and there wouldn't be enough votes to pass the measure, Cross announced he wasn't even going to try. Cross says legislators should take some time to let their emotions settle and let their tempers cool, then work to find a common ground.
It's got really ugly the last couple of days, and I had some strong feelings, but I still do. But we all got to put that stuff aside. We got to get this done.
The Senate did get something done with pensions, voting to reduce state employees and legislators' pensions while leaving teachers and university workers alone. The House didn't take up that version, though, and Republican Senator Dan Duffy called it a joke and a farce.
This is like trying to put out a forest fire with a spray bottle.
In a statement, Governor Quinn said inaction is not a choice and said he'll call a meeting in the coming week with the four legislative leaders to talk about pensions.
We're all very disappointed that we did not resolve the pension question before the legislature.
Speaker Madigan.
However, I think we should all recognize that there were significant accomplishments in this session, this regular session of the General Assembly.
And with that, Madigan ticked off a list of measures that are on the governor's desk, like one that ends the longstanding practice of lawmakers handing out free tuition at state schools, like the legislation to stop paying retired state employees' health care premiums, and like a $1 a pack tax hike on cigarettes. That was part of a broader effort to rein in rising Medicaid costs, which meant heavy cuts to the state's health care program for the poor. Those are all measures Quinn has signaled he'll sign into law. That's not the case with the gambling expansion measure before him. It allows slot machines at horse race tracks and approves five new casinos, including in Chicago, Rockford, and Danville. And last but not least, legislators also sent Quinn a new state budget. Although it was largely crafted with bipartisan support in the House, Senate Republicans like Matt Murphy of Palatine charge the Democrats' plan spends too much.
Job growth will continue to be sluggish. Taxes will continue to be high. The budget will continue to grow. And the people of this state will continue to suffer under your failed leadership.
Democratic Senator Kim Lightford of Maywood had the opposite problem. She says when it comes to education, the budget doesn't spend enough.
This is a disgrace. All of us should be ashamed of ourselves for putting green lights on the board to support an education system that is failing our children.
The spending plan before Quinn also funds prisons, mental health centers, and institutions for the developmentally disabled, facilities Quinn has proposed closing. But even though the money is there, he has the final say over their fate. May 31st in the Capitol usually brings with it a feeling of finality, but with the unanswered questions over pensions, gambling, state facilities, and the budget, lawmakers are finding that finality is another scarce resource. I'm Amanda Vinicky.
Last year, the Quinn administration created controversy by rejecting bids for new state employee health insurance contracts from Health Alliance and Humana. But now, new proposals are under consideration to take their place. While state officials are still reviewing them, state employees and retirees can choose to sign up for short-term versions of their coverage or choose from the other coverage plans that were accepted last year. The new arrangement means Health Alliance will drop its lawsuit over the rejection of its earlier bid. Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows spoke with Mike Claffey of the Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services about the latest options.
We have announced to our employees and retirees that there is June 15th end date for the benefit choice period. Along with that, we've announced that we've entered into 90-day contracts with the bidders in the supplemental RFP process to provide HMO services, and those are Health Alliance HMO, which covers Central Illinois, and then Health Alliance Illinois is an offshoot of Health Alliance, covers further downstate counties, and also there's Coventry Healthcare HMO, which was formerly known to employees as Personal Care. The point is, as a result of all the controversy from last year's process for choosing HMOs and health coverage for employees, we settled a lawsuit and we agreed that we would have a supplemental RFP period for HMO services going forward. The bids in the supplemental RFP were just submitted on May 21st. Health Alliance bid, as did Coventry Healthcare. However, we're not going to be able to properly score and evaluate those bids in time to get the contracts in place for July 1st. So that's why we've entered into these 90-day contracts with the HMOs I mentioned previously.
So if these three bids are accepted for long-term contracts, the people who sign up for the 90-day contracts will just have that contract extended through the year.
Yeah, exactly. If these options ultimately get long-term contracts through the RFP process, then folks will be able to remain with those carriers. In the event that the RFP process results in a change in the specific health carriers that are available, then we have told employees that we will hold a special enrollment period to allow them to make a change. We've also said that we do have the option to extend the 90-day contracts for a longer period if we need to do so.
Now, these are four contracts which would begin on July 1st?
Exactly. The reason we needed to put the 90-day contracts in place was because the fiscal year starts on July 1st, and that's normally when the year's worth of coverage starts for state employees and retirees on July 1. We wanted to make sure that we could get everybody signed up in time so that they have coverage when the fiscal year starts on July 1st.
I believe there had been an audit a few months ago of the process last year and some criticism coming out of that of how the process went ahead. Is anything being done differently this year in evaluating the bids?
Well, the audit, it looked at basically what was the first run-through for us under a new procurement code. It was the first time we'd ever handled anything of this complexity. So certainly there's been lessons learned from the first time we conducted the procurement, and we will certainly apply those. Just say the audit identified, technical issues, but it certainly never cast doubt on the fairness of the process. And that's our main thing, is for a fair process and that we get a good deal for taxpayers and also good quality coverage for all of our employees and retirees. And that's our goal here. Certainly is a complex process, but we're working through it.
That's Mike Claffey of the Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services. He spoke with Illinois Public Media's Jim Meadows, explaining the workings of the current benefit choice period for health care coverage for state employees and retirees. The deadline for choosing a provider is June 15th. For a link to more information, check out this story at will.illinois.edu.
Programs on WILL are made possible in part by Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, inviting you to experience sustainable specials and everyday indulgences at Intermezzo Cafe. More information about upcoming events is at KrannertCenter.com.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday. It's the 1st of June, 2012. It's the birthday of Dante Alighieri, born in Florence, Italy, in 1265, at least we think so, nobody knows for sure. We do know that Dante met his great love and muse Beatrice when he was about 9 years old, love at first sight. 3 years later, he was promised in marriage to someone else, but that didn't stop him from writing about Beatrice in his poetry. She was, he said, his main reason for living. He had political aspirations, And because the law held that public officials had to be a member of one of the guilds, Dante became a pharmacist. He was opposed to the political power of the Vatican in Florence, and he lost that battle and was exiled to Rome. And there, with his fortunes left behind, Beatrice now dead, Dante had nothing but poetry to devote himself to, and it was then towards the end of his life that he began work on his Divine Comedy. He chose to write the poem in colloquial Italian rather than Latin, which had been the language for Western literature for more than 1,000 years. And it was the first epic poem in Western literature in which the author served as the main character. He died of malaria shortly after he finished it at the age of 55. It's the birthday of the poet who wrote, "I must go down to the seas again, to the lonely sea in the sky, and all I ask is a tall ship and a star to steer her by." John Masefield, born in Ledbury, England, 1878. And it's the birthday of the linguist and translator C.K. Ogden, born Fleetwood, England, 1889. He was a founder of the Cambridge Magazine, which published George Bernard Shaw and Thomas Hardy, John Masefield, and Virginia Woolf, G.K. Chesterton. At the time of the First World War, he translated books from French and German into English. He wrote a book called The Meaning of Meaning, The Influence of Language on Thinking. And he created a language called Basic English, a simplified version of English, a vocabulary of just 850 words, only 18 of which are verbs, which he thought would improve communication and help to achieve world peace. George Orwell at first was in favor of Basic English and then changed his mind and made fun of it in his novel 1984 as the model for Newspeak. Here's a poem for today by Richard Wilbur, Blackberries for Amelia. Fringing the woods, the stone walls, and the lanes, old thickets everywhere have come alive, their new leaves reaching out in fans of five from tangles overarched by this year's canes. They have their flowers, too, it being June, and here or there in brambled dark and light are small five-petaled blooms of chalky white, as random clustered and as loosely strewn as the far stars, of which we now are told that ever faster do they bolt away, and that a night may come